grade 12, I can speak well. You know, sometimes people will tell you what you want to be, not what you... You even at that point, you may not know what you really want. So I wanted to be a lawyer. So when I got to science class, I discovered that maths was hard. I said, okay, because of this maths, let me join science class. And it was like, that's 2 years before the final exam, or 3 years before I switched up to science class. And I was doing well. I started doing well in maths. And then I discovered, oh, I want to be a doctor. So my mind started changing from law to medicine. So I started working towards medicine. Believe me, if I knew this, I wouldn't have stressed myself. So I wrote the exams, you know, that would take me to study medicine. I didn't pass at the grade I was supposed to. I didn't meet up with the cutoff point. And also I was looking for chemistry. I said, okay, let me settle for microbiology. So from medicine, I switched over to microbiology. So eventually I graduated as a microbiologist. And I love the line. I worked in the hospital for a while, for a very, very short while. I just discovered that I was gifted in teaching. Oh my God. I was really gifted in teaching. I mean, I enjoy it. If you wake me up, I can teach. Even I had to learn to teach maths. Listen, you may be brilliant, doesn't mean you can teach. So I learned how to, you know, I went to study this math. I had to teach my children. And I discovered I wanted to be a teacher. I mean, as I mentioned now, just one person. I wanted to be a teacher after I graduated from microbiology. I worked in the hospital for a while. I got a teaching job. I started teaching. And I discovered I had to go and get a postgraduate diploma in education. So I went to get that. Now, I was spoke to my husband, we have to come to Serbia. If not that, I wanted to pursue further. Even when I came to Serbia, I was thinking I can still go back to, you know, do my master's in education, but it's not in English. So I'm still waiting. If I find any, you know, course in English education, I will still go back and do it. Right now, I'm 52. So the point is this. Within this 20-year plan, you begin to discover yourself. Please, feel free to change. Don't stick to, I was told I must be a doctor. And then you must do doctor. No. That's not how it works. So by the time we're done, I would expect you to write something. But now what you're writing, your life goals will either be yearly goals or monthly goals or daily goals. But you must have goals. But there are things I want us to look at. I want us to look at the scripture. And then I'll tell us some things. Psalm 139, verse 14 to 17. Psalm 139, verse 14 to 17. Are we having it on? Okay. Psalm 139, verse 14 to 17. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 15, please. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. But let's look at that 15 again. Let's see if it's in. I want you to give me a New Living Translation. Let me use a bit of New Living Translation. New Living Translation, verse 15, please. So it says there, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Amen. I need you to know that God has a plan for your life. That's the first thing you must know. God has a plan. From this scripture, when you were being formed, when you were being prepared, He made you very well. You are unique in your own way. And there are no two types of you. first thing you must accept that God formed you. You are not an accident. So God has a plan for your life, and you are here on assignment. Amen. So if you know that you are here for an assignment, you need to tell yourself, God has a plan for my life. You need to live with that consciousness. There is a plan. And anytime someone says you're a mistake, you need to let them know. That's what he said. You were formed. Amen. So God knows about you. He knows your name. Don't always feel, oh, life is better for some people. It's not better for you. So already the scripture says what? God has a plan for your life. Number two, God has designed you for the plan he has. He has a plan. He designed you for that plan. Please remember that. That plan he has, he didn't design you for someone else's plan. He designed you for that plan which he has for you. So the talent he has given to you, the abilities he has given to you, is a design to fulfill the plan he has for you. Even the places you go to. Now, we can say that maybe for some people here, Serbia may not be your first choice. So, you can say, okay, maybe you are here by chance. No, see, even to the place you experience, the way he designed you is to meet up with those plans. So it's not a mistake that you are here today. So our designs are different. We need to take note of that. So the plan he has for us would influence our life. So I want to beg you, stop comparing yourself with your neighbor. Even if you're twins. It's not the same thing. There is a plan. And each of you fit into that plan. Each of you, you will work according to the design. So you still cannot compare, even if you're twins. Even if you're from the same country, there is a design. And that design fits you, you alone. So please don't compare. And stop trying to be, you know, another person. Some people, you just look at some people, you like their life. Okay, yes, we thank God for their life. But don't try to be them. That's not your design. If you're working against your design, that means you're going to have some lapses in them. Take note of that. Number three, God uses your experience to equip you. All the experiences you're having now, God is using it to equip you, you know, for the plans he has for you. Some experience may be bad. Some experience may be negative. Just understand that it's all working together for your good. So you're going to make some mistakes. And that's probably you have made the mistakes. But the truth is this. Even all these mistakes, Romans 8:28 says what? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So I want to say, God will use your experiences. God will use your mistakes. God will use, you know, everything that is happening to you. He's going to turn it around for your good. None of it will be a waste. Every one of us here, we have a story to tell. But all this is to fit into what God has designed your life to be. So don't just wake up and say, oh, it's like I've lost 10 years. If you're a child of God, he will turn it around for your good. That experience will build you up. But that does not give you the license to go about making foolish decisions. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So please take note of that. God will use those experiences to show his glory. Number four, God's plan for you will touch other people's life. For example, if you want to be a doctor, you cannot be a doctor for yourself. As a doctor, you have to treat other people. You want to be a footballer, you cannot be a footballer for yourself. You will have to entertain other people. So whatever you are studying right now, that plan is to touch the life of other people. So whatever God has called you to do, people will benefit from it. That's how important you are. You're not just a lone ranger. Whatever you are doing, people will benefit from it. That's the plan of God. Amen. So, this makes it important that you know how to deal with people. Don't make enemies out of people. Don't. We're just passing by and our path cross. There must be something I'm benefiting from you, something you are benefiting from me. So don't just have somebody and permanent enemy. I can never forgive them. That's not part of God's plan. Forgive them and move on. You are even just starting. For me, at this stage, everything we do is like a rehearsal. Because you're still going to get married. You're going to walk in places that are different. You will meet people. So whatever you have learned right now, you will practice it with the people you meet. So it's just a path. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number five, God's plan for your life is time-bound. Please take note of that. The plan God has is time-bound. So you don't have eternity to fulfill that plan. So you have to walk with time. And I want to say to you, time matters. Some of us are using the time like we have enough time. God's purpose are time bound. If you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, the first part, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, maybe we should look at it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3a, he said, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." Yes, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end. Can you please go back to New King James, please? "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." So God's purposes are time-bound. The vision is for an appointed time. For the vision is yet for, and there's an appointed time. So everything we are doing has timing. You can't waste time. Have you heard people say, "I'm wasting time," or "I'm killing time"? You can't kill time. Keeps moving in the same 24 hours all over the world. It's the same 24 hours. So there's what you call an appointed time. For example, the courses you're studying is time-bound. It has time. So that tells you that time management is very important. That's a topic for some other time. Time management. If you don't manage your time well, you may end up regretting. So time management is very, very important. It's critical to fulfilling God's plan for your life. Time management. And then number six, fulfilling God's plan for your life gives you fulfillment. You are fulfilled when you fulfill God's plan for your life. There is this satisfaction. And the truth is this, if you take Jesus out of the center, nothing will work. Amen.
Amen.
So fulfilling God's plan for your life gives fulfillment. So it's about doing what God wants you to do. That's where you can get the greatest satisfaction. So life without God is what? Vanity. You can find that in Ecclesiastes. So then, it is important we plan. That's where the planning comes. That's where the planning comes. Life without God is vanity. And to avoid vanity, to avoid us, wasting time, we have to plan our lives. Let me give us some small notes we should take. So that means Jesus should be the center of your 20-year plan. You cannot do it by yourself. Understand that. Nobody has that kind of... Who is there anyone here that can tell me what 20 years will look like? You know, these days, I think they have AI that will project how you will look like in 20 years. It may be true, it may be false. So Jesus should be the center of your 20-year plan, not you planning by yourself. And then, because it's 20 years, you don't have to worry about it. There's no need for anxiety. If you take time to read Matthew 6, 31 to 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about yourself. Do not worry about your life. You don't need to worry. All you need to do is make Jesus the center. And then if you go to Luke 14, 28 to 31, it's talking about plan adequately for the things you want to do. You have to plan. Plan adequately for them. Then live a life with a clear vision of the future. Now, we've been talking about vision. What exactly is this vision? I'll try to break it down a bit and try to, like, you know, I want you to do some imagination. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, the first part, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So that's just one small, should I call it? I want us to use our imagination. Can you close your eyes in the pit? Just close your eyes. I mean, close your eyes and we're not praying. I just want you to close your eyes. No, it's not prayer now. I want you to, can you create a picture of what you will look like? Maybe, or what's your dream? Maybe you're a doctor. Can you picture yourself, you know, with your, is this stethoscope? With, you know, can you just create a picture with your imagination? What you want to look like? Now, there's no picture of what you want to look, or what you want to look like written anywhere, but it's you. You creating that picture. But you have to close your eyes and use your imagination to look at how you will look like. Okay. Let's stop there. You can open your eyes. I remember somebody was talking with Pastor, and Pastor, he said, when I get my office, I'll just come into my office. I'll say, you have been a bad manager. I will sack you. Pastor said, why is this problem you are seeing already in your office? No, he's the CEO, and all he sees, people, all the people he employed, they are trouble people. And how could you imagine that? That's how far his imagination should go, that everyone is employed is going to fight them like, you stole money, or you did this. Why? That's the wrong imagination. So when you look at vision is talking about your ability to think about or plan the future with your imagination. Planning the future with imagining what kind of family do you want? In fact, what kind of car do you want to ride? So you can just imagine it. Vision also is a mental imagination of what the future will or could be like. That's vision. We cannot say vision is what we see, but it's also the way we see it. It's not just what you see. How do you see yourself? There are people who can't even, you know, even when I said close your eyes, I tell you, if I say, okay, raise your hand and you could not think anything. There are people here. Personally, they couldn't think anything. I was there. That's how I know. I can't, at 22, I didn't have anything in my head. Just had go with the flow. Whatever is happening, we just flow with it. But you have the privilege. So this is an opportunity for you to have a vision. Picture the future. Not just picture it. What do you see? Because what you see is what you get. And then we'll end with this. A man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a vision is a man without a future. And it's unfortunate that are people, when you ask them, let me start with the ladies. What kind of a man do you want to marry? They start with, he must be tall. He must have 6-pack. He should have a fine house, a fine car. Excuse you. That's no vision. Because the person that has 6-pack, If you feed him very well, he can become fat and begin to have lunch pack. So don't marry fine face. Marry someone who has a vision, who has character. I was watching, I don't know the name of the game. Every person there, they say, okay, why didn't you pop your banner? He said, because the guy is cute. I'm like, he's cute. Cuteness can disappear. And he's handsome. I like his jacket. Oh my God. Those are not. Anybody can borrow a jacket from anywhere and wear and come to the show. He's cute. Have you seen people who are cute become fat to us and the cuteness disappear? Don't marry cute, don't marry vision. When he opens his mouth, he should be able to say something that has, that makes sense. Not that he's lying in his face and you're talking this way, he's talking this way. He can't walk. So a man without a vision is a man without a future. So we can say your vision is the picture of the future. Your vision is your future. And you can dream beyond now. So I can say no vision, no future. What did I say?
No vision, no future.
So help me do this math. Small vision.
Small future.
Big vision.
Big future.
So that's how it works. And when you have a new vision, so your vision is attached to your future. And please don't be afraid to dream big. Dream the impossible. If you can do it, then it's no longer a dream. Anything you can do, there's nothing there, there's no challenge. But if it's the impossible, wow, it will put you on your toes. Don't do what everyone is doing. Do you. Like I said, there's a design for you, and you need to find out that design. And let me just put something simple, just a few tips on how you can find your vision. Because there's some people, I've been saying vision, I don't know what you're talking about. There are a few tips. Number one, ask yourself the following question. What am I enthusiastic about? What excites you? What, you know, something that when you do it, you're happy to do it. What have I always wanted to become? That can also change as you grow older. There are things you begin to enjoy doing. So, things can change. What gives me the greatest fulfillment? We're going to do that when I'm done talking. We're going to do a bit of it and then I'll leave the rest to you. So, how to go about your vision? How to go about your vision? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. So, that's where we'll see how do we go about this vision. Because we're talking about my 20-year plan. Purpose and destiny. You must know how to go about it. You must know what it is. It says what? Please, let's look at this. It said, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Yes, please. No, it's supposed to be 2 to 3. Then you have to go back to 2. 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablet that he may run who reads it. So that's the first part. Write the vision. So how do we go about the vision? From Habakkuk chapter 2 to 3, I will just break it down. And from that part, you can see, number one, write the vision down. You see, when you write it down, you are committed to doing it. Writing commits you to doing it. If it's in your head, it's not a vision. Guess what? You can forget. You can forget. So, this book is one of the... I have a lot of... There's so many, but I only brought few, so you can hold this for me. So this is written organizer here, organized. And I have to open the page. So what date can you see here? So this is the one I started with 2019. So what did you see here? And what do you see here? So for each of the year, I write my vision, what I want to achieve. Okay, so here you have what? Which year?
2021.
Okay. Maybe I skipped 2020.
2024.
Okay, and then the last one, let's see. Okay, you know, this is 23. And what do you have here?
Goals, spiritual goals, physical goals, financial, family, ministry.
Okay, thank you. Now, I write the things I want to achieve on yearly basis here. Remember, I started my own 20-year plan in 2014. I was 41 then. You have more opportunity. That's why, for you to be here, I want to say God bless you. It means you want something different. It's not late. If I started at 41, means you can do better than myself. Agreed on that. So I couldn't bring all the other ones that I started with, but this is one starting at 2019. I started writing what I want to achieve. Part of my 20-year plan is to own my own school. And the vision I have for my school is I want a school where in the first year, tuition fee will be free. And then the second year, people will start paying. And my school will be a Christian school. Muslims can come, but you must sign an undertaking that what we'll do here will be only Christian. And then in my school, I also want to have doctors and nurses with a sick bay. I mean, a standard school. And then in my school, we would have a time where we'll have what you call the devotion. Now, this was part of my 20-year plan. And guess what? How far did I go? I got the school. I have a school. But guess what? I couldn't run it because I came to serve it. And the few times I've tried to run a business in Nigeria, asking people to do, they messed it up. So it would be ridiculous and carelessness to start the school and then hand it over to someone who doesn't have the vision that I have, they will wreck it. I will just keep pumping money. So guess what? That vision had to, is kind of, I still don't know what to do yet. I'm still praying to God because I don't know when God will say, go back to Nigeria. And I don't want to be 70 and then I start. But so far, because my vision is to have a school, I have a registered school. I have a land for the school. Part of the vision is to build boarding schools on that land. So if in the next 5 years, God is not saying anything about going back home, I may have to sell that land. You get what I'm saying? I thought about having the school here in Serbia, but I think it may be more tedious. You see, that's what the vision is. That's not a one-year vision. So I came here in 2009. So guess what? You have to write it down. As you grow older and the years, you will not see whether you have to change it. So you must write it down. Listen, it may look so big and fearful. Write it down. When you write it down, you own it. Don't be afraid to write down a big vision. It may be fearful. Write it down. That's the first step. Write your vision down. So if you check all this every year, I now do yearly. From the 20, I break it down. What do I want to achieve this year? Like there's a year I said, there was one of the years I said that year was going to be, and sometimes some of my vision, I align it with the theme for the church. I can remember 2022 says my year of supernatural manifestation. So I said I was going to work with that. And then everything, yes. For 2023, my vision was what? Yes, for 2023, I said I was going to have, you know, I want to be spiritually great. And when I said, I wrote down the actions, things I want to do. So you must write it down. I have a lot of small books, like they have piled up. Okay, this one is written there, a reminder, you know, to help me remember the things I, you see, it says the vision. Now, this one is more recent because God is giving me another vision. I want to have a program called Women in Leadership here in Serbia. It's a big vision, and I'm afraid. I don't know how to start. I get scared. I told some of the girls to join me in it. On Wednesday, I met one of the ladies, the leading lady. I told her I'm having this vision. Let me tell you, sometimes you can get scared and that vision will die. So I wrote it down to keep reminding myself. The focus, women in leadership from all walks of life. It's not just a church program. That is a big vision for me. I'm still working on it. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me more. Now, this, as I have the visions, I also write down my prayer points. These are prayer points. What here, you, let me see here. Okay, that's 2023. Let me see if I have another year. I write my prayer request. As God puts it in my, okay, I want to be a doctor. I write it. Lord, I ask for grace to be a doctor. Lord, I ask for grace to run the school. You must have a prayer point. You must have where you write your prayers, because you cannot do it by yourself. You need God to help you. Listen, just as you're having this vision, the devil is planning a counterattack. So your weapon is what? Prayer. Write your prayer points down. Okay. Now, this one. Okay, let me see here. Okay, so this is my to-do list. On a daily basis, what I want to do. So you can't just call me and say, follow me to Usche. It's not possible. Or can we go to Ada? And it's not on my list. You didn't tell me 1 week before. Even like, if you rather than justify, I wanted to make my hair. How many months' notice did I give you? I gave her a month's notice. Not that I can't tell her, come and make my hair tomorrow and she will come, but I gave her 1 month notice because I have a plan. I don't wake up in the morning and just walk about the street like aimlessly. Hello, very good. Can you meet up with me? It means if you don't have a vision, people will run your vision for you. So for each day, I have what I want to do. This is daily. The night before, I write. When I come to the church office, we have an office there. This is my program for today. It doesn't mean I can't bend if there's an exceptional case. For example, I was at home preparing to come for this program. That was in the morning. Someone called up. I'm not okay. Because of the program, many months ago, Pastor said, this is church. Go. She needed to go to the hospital. So I drove to her place, pick her up, took her to the hospital before coming to church. Now, that was not part of my plan. So sometimes there is room to bend if it's something that is, it makes sense. You understand? But you cannot just bend your rules. Someone says, let's go for what now? No, even coffee, there must be an agreement of time. I want to go with coffee to meet Ashmita. I said, Ashmita, please, are you free on Monday? Can we go for coffee? We have a plan. Or she can just call me up and say, Pastor Khan, I'm at your door. Can we go for coffee? How? So this book now, 2022, ended when?
May 2025.
So it ended in May, so I started a new one. This is my to-do list daily. I've already started what I want to do. And this one, now, when we have programs like anniversaries, women, royals, what date can you see here? So I write. The one I didn't bring my income and expenditure book. I have that. This is what I have. This is what came in. Thank you, please. You know, this is my notebook for this month. This is the money I got, blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is what I want to spend it on. My first thing there is my tithe. I plan my Thanksgiving. I don't just wake up and just bring out money. No, I plan my Thanksgiving from the weekend. And this is what I want to give. Even from the beginning of the month, I've already planned what my Thanksgiving for July should be. So I don't just wake up and just go and take money. I start saving towards that amount I have in my mind. Write it down. So if you tell me, give me a summary of how much came in into my life in January, how much did I spend, I would give you the account clean. I learned this from my 20-year plan. And I started at 41. So guess what? You don't have any excuse. It's not late. You can start. You don't need plenty books like this, but you can just take one book and start writing something. Just write. Are we good? Mm-hmm. Please, do what?
Right.
Write. It will set your life in order. It's a guide. So, write down the vision. If it's in your head, it's not a vision. That's not. We're talking about how to go about your vision. Number two, make it plain. Some people write things that are, I don't know, complicated. Make it plain. Break it down to achievable bits. That's what I did here. Everything I break it into bits. I don't do complication. I don't do something like, how will I not achieve this? No. Break it down to achievable bits. It can be broken into monthly plans, quarterly plan, yearly plan. Break it down to the simplest that you want to do. So today is what now?
20.
Okay, so we have how many days left in June?
10.
Is it 10 days?
Yes.
So guess what? You can get your notebook and do 10 days plan. You can't just leave this place and not put what you have learned into practice. You just succeeded in wasting your time. So do a 10-day plan. Then by the 30th of June, do a monthly plan for the month of July. Break it down. You'll be surprised that your life will change. You'll be surprised that you are able to account for how you spent your money. You can't just say, I like it, okay, how about 2,000, it's not too much pay. You can't do that. Everybody's buying it, you buy it, do you need it? So make it plain. Number three, run with the vision. Run with the vision. What does that mean? Take action. Your vision must inspire you. You can't have a vision and you are bored. No. Let your vision inspire you. So take action. Run with the vision. Number four, appoint a time for your vision. Your vision must have timing or time. Your vision must be time bound. Okay, you have to come again. Remind me her name again.
Oh, sorry.
I forgot your name. Now, this is, I went for a leadership program 2019. This is on setting goals and achieving. It's a leadership program. I had it in the U.S., and it was for a long time. Now, we were made to write goals of things we would like to do. Okay, so this is 2019. And though this is more like evangelism, you know, goals for evangelism. And what's the time bound here?
In 2 years.
In 2 years, this is what I want to do. To start in the year 2000, no, to start 2019 and end in 2020, April 2021. So there's a time. There is spiritual goals, intellectual, educational goals, physical goals, financial goals. And My time bound is 2 years. What I want to do in the next 2 years. Okay, thank you. You see it. Reason I call out to read, I don't want you to feel I'm just telling you something from my head. I'm telling you because it works. It works. So, at the end of this, I purposely did not give Francis this. If you are interested, Francis would make a copy only on request. This is not part of the 20 year, but this is like a goal planning sheet. It's mine, and I will tell you when we'll need it. Okay. So, I said, run with the vision, take action. Don't write things down without planning and then you do them. Run with the vision. And then appoint a time for your vision. Your vision must have time. Okay, that's it. Number 5, it will speak. Your vision must lead to reality. It must manifest. Don't do it because everybody is doing it. Don't do it just for the fun of it. Don't do it just for the fun of it. Then number 6, wait for it. A vision requires persistence. It requires patience. Don't abandon your vision when the going gets tough. Hey, things are tough. I don't think I can do this. And you just end it. I'm not doing anything. Don't do that, please. Goal setting. Goal setting, not setting goals. Setting goals is part of a spiritual discipline. Plan your goals carefully and deliberately, you know, be deliberate about it, be intentional. Now, I want to say this, I've come across people like that too, and they will ask the question. So if I handle it, I'm sure I've answered the question in your heart. There are people who make no plans, who set no goals. They aim at nothing because they claim that they want to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. They say the Holy Spirit leads. Can we look at Luke chapter 14, verse 28? Let's look at New Living Translation. Luke 14, 28. There are people who are like that. They say, okay, what if the Holy Spirit says, oh, I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit must, you know, lead. Yes, the Holy Spirit will lead you. But are you even listening to him? Because if you are listening, you know he's saying something. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? So if there is a vision, you have set goals, you will count the cost. The Holy Spirit is leading you and he's telling you plan. Set goals. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Still New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. That is just beating the air. No aim. You're not aiming at anything. Amen. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to write something down, to take action, to do something. Amen. Let's look at God, for instance. First, God had a vision of the world he wanted. Because obviously there was darkness everywhere and formlessness. And God had a vision of Adam. He had a vision of the water, the sky. God had a vision. That was the first thing. Number 2, he planned what he would do within 7 days. Agreed. He had a plan. Number 3, he took action and creation came into being. So God is a perfect example. He had a vision, he planned it, and he took action. Please, when you start writing, plan. This is your big dream. Plan it and take action. So let's look at what are goals? When we talk about goals, what are goals? Goals, we'll say they are, okay, when I say they are or is the map that will guide you towards your God-given purpose. goals are marked, or is a map that will guide you towards your God-given purpose. To success, to progress. That's what goals does for you. That's why you have to set goals. It's a guide. It's a map that will guide you. So when you want to set goals, what does setting goals helps you not to wander in circles. It helps you to focus. Setting goals helps you to focus. Setting goals helps you to focus. When you don't set goals, you will experience problems. So when we're going to set goals, what are the things we need to be careful about in setting goals? Because someone who goes and set a goal now, you're not even working, you are setting a goal to buy a car. I don't know, that's unrealistic. Or you are planning to, what now? Build a house in, it's a good vision. But you need to break it down. So qualities of a good goal. A good goal must be specific. Must be specific. You know, well defined, must be clear. For example, one of the things I have in my goal, under physical health, I always want to lose weight. So if you say you want to lose weight, that's not specific. But if you say, I want to lose 30 kilos at the end of 6 months, you are being specific. So your goal must be specific. Don't just say, I want to do this. Give it time. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Be specific. Two, your goal must be measurable. It means you can measure it. How do I put it now? For example, you say, I will save 200 dinar per month. So at the end of the month, evaluate, or at the end of 6 months, evaluate how much have you been able to save. You can measure. You understand? You can't say, I will save, my plan is to have 1,000 euros. How? It should be measured. Number four, your goals should be reasonable and reachable. Should make sense. I don't know if there's anybody here that wants to buy a jet. Hey, that's a vision, but right now, that cannot be part of your, you know, the next 6 months or 1 year. You understand? It's achievable, but it should make sense. But either you are saying in the next 20 years, the next 10 years, but right now, you must have a goal that you can run with and finish and aim higher. From one goal, you move to the other. What number?
Four.
Okay. Have I said it should be attainable?
No.
Okay. It should be attainable. You should be able to attain it. Don't do impossible goals, then it must be realistic. Like I said, reasonably, it must be realistic. It must be time-bound. Goals should either be long-term or short-term, with clarity defined. There must be a timeline. Okay, please understand, goals are not wishes. They are not wishes. Don't wish them. So on that note, I want us to now do an example. I want you to own your goal. Okay, Francis, please, that's where I need your help. You're going to get my 20-year personal development plan, the one I also, you know, that helped me. You will have your own copy, and you bring out your pencil. You're not going to do everything, but it's going to be a guide. And please, if you have any question, you can ask later. Just give each person one, please. So the first thing you need to do is write your name on it. We're not taking it back. It's for you. God bless the youth executive. They made this possible. So it's for you. But the first thing you need to do, write your name. So if you write your name, it means it's yours. Write your name. And I want to ask, how many of us have been blessed this evening? It's making sense what we're doing. And you're glad you came. God bless you. Can you please write your name first? Write your name. Once you write your name, it means it's your property. Write your name. I want to see your name. Write your name. Write your name. Write your name. Write your name so I can continue. I want you to write your name. Write your name. So if you have written your name, can you say yes? That's not a yes. I want you to write your name, please. Write your name because I want you to be yours. Write your name. And please, can you please celebrate the youth executive for making this copies available? Shall we say thank you to them? Yes, thank you so much. So have we written our names? Just, you can borrow Bible from pen from someone. Just write your name. That's all you are doing. You're not filling it now. You're only going to do two things right now. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, write your name. Now, the next one. Don't tell me. Write your current age. How old are you? Write it there. You don't have to, don't do it together with your neighbor.